that go to the book of Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. And it came to pass about in 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Now, Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this instance in the Bible where people got to see a preview of your glory. Lord, there are so many things that the apostles got to see that we don't get to see. But Lord, there's glory to be seen if we look for it. Father, help us, we pray, to see what we need to see out of this passage of Scripture and to understand what we need to understand. And we thank you for everything that you've given us. Lord, we just pray you'd bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I look at the passage of Scripture, I notice some things in there. You know, it's kind of an amazing thing. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53, gives us a description of the Lord. If you recall, when one of the first apostles was bearing witness of Jesus, he said that they had found the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, and the other one said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And so they didn't have much of a good opinion of where he had come from. All right. And he says in Isaiah 53, he says, Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. And so it says that he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So when you look at the Lord Jesus Christ as he walked this earth, he was not a remarkable man. He didn't have all the soft features that you see in the Catholic drawings and all that stuff, and the long flowing hair. And he was just about as average as you could get. He was not handsome. He was not comely. You know, it was said of David, David was ruddy in complexion, he was considered handsome and all those things. That's not the Lord Jesus. He wasn't that. There was nothing in him, no form or no comeliness, that when we see him, we would desire him. He wasn't the person that everybody would look at and say, hey, that's somebody we want to follow. You know, David was a youth. He wasn't really all that big either, but he was a handsome, from at least from the what we find out about David in the scriptures, he was a handsome lad, but he wasn't as handsome as his brothers. You remember when Samuel went to anoint one of them to be king in the stead of Saul? He saw one of his brothers and he saw he's a big strapping boy, and he said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And God said, nope, it's not the one. He said, I'm looking at the heart. And of course, the people gravitated to Saul because Saul was a whole head taller than anybody else. And David wasn't that. He was but a youth. And he grew into his manhood, and he was... But it was at least said about him that he had a ruddy complexion. He was a fairly looking fellow. But the Lord Jesus was... There was no form, no comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men. And so... When he was on the mount with Peter and James and John, the Mount of Transfiguration, something changed. It said that his raiment was white and glistering. Not glistening, glistering. In other words, it didn't just glisten, it was... His raiment was like the sun. That's how it was. That's a term you would use for the sun. You know, a lot of times we say that the sun has blistering heat. But he's saying glistering. In other words, it hurts the eyes. Glistening is soft. Glistering is hard and bright. His raiment, the other ones tell him his raiment was more than the sun, the other accounts. So he was there and they saw that. And it's an amazing thing that's happened there. And of course we know that Moses and Elijah showed up. And they talked about his decease, they spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And that just shows you something, that Moses and Elijah were both waiting for the penalty for their sins to be paid in full. They wanted to know, they came to talk to Jesus, and they weren't talking about what was going on in heaven, they were talking about when he's going to accomplish that which he was doing. And so we look at that, and of course we know the things about Peter and how they were heavy with sleep, and then they woke up and they saw his glory. Now the way this is, the way this works there, it says in verse 32, it says, but Peter and they that were with him, that's James and John, were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory. So it's kind of an interesting thing that happened there. They missed something important. They missed something important. missed the change from Jesus being that average, unattractive, unremarkable person in his stature and his looks to being gloried and bright as the sun and glistering, being transfigured before their eyes. And why did they miss it? You said, well, they were sleeping. But why were they sleeping? Why were they sleeping? Well, we start out at the beginning, and it says, and it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings. The saying was, but I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. He took Peter and James and John, said, we're going to go have a prayer meeting. We're going to go have a prayer meeting. We're going to go up on the mountain. We're going to pray. And it says, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. As he prayed. But they didn't see his glory till they woke up. So why did they go to sleep? What was going on when they fell asleep? A prayer meeting. The Lord was praying, and they were up there. They went up with him to pray, and they weren't praying. They prayed a little while, and they got heavy-eyed, and they decided, we're just going to go to sleep. We'll leave the Lord all by himself. And they wake up, and there's the glory of God. They see the Lord Jesus transfigured. They see Moses and Elijah. And of course, Peter didn't know what to say. Came to pass as they departed from him, Peter said unto him, Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let's make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. He didn't understand. He missed the ability to understand who Jesus was. He kind of just made him equal to Moses and Elijah, didn't he? He was embarrassed. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what happened. They didn't know what was going on. And they missed some important information too, didn't they? Maybe if they'd been listening, they'd have heard about what Moses and Elijah were saying to the Lord Jesus. I kind of think that a lot of this information that the apostles have, they were told by Jesus after it happened, or they were told by Jesus after he rose from the dead while he was with them. But why did they miss it? They missed it because they weren't praying. They missed it because they were sleeping. And I just want to say, when it comes to us, have you ever thought about what it is you miss when you give up prayer for sleep? I understand sleep is important. You have to have sleep. We all have to have sleep. But prayer is important too, isn't it? Amen. Prayer is more important than sleeping. It really is. When's the last time you were tired and you decided, no, I'm going to stay up and pray. I'm going to find a way to stay awake. I'm going to pray because I need to know, hear something from heaven. I need to do business with God. I need to do that. Too often what we do is we say, well, I'm tired and the Lord will understand. And He does understand. He knoweth our frame that is but dust. He understands. But just because God understands doesn't mean He's not disappointed. Who knows? I mean, if they had stayed awake with Jesus, maybe their raiment might have caught fire. You just never know. But they'd have seen, they would have heard, they would have understood, they would have, listen to me very carefully, they would have experienced it rather than heard about it. They would have experienced some of it, of course. But they missed out on a lot of that experience, didn't they? They had to be told what was going on. Why? Because they were asleep. We don't know the particulars. We don't know what happens, but it says they were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, so that means they went to sleep and they woke up. Don't know how long they slept, but they slept long enough for them to miss a good portion of that. It says in verse 37, and it came to pass that on the next day when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. So that tells me they didn't come down until the next day. So they were up there overnight. What an amazing thing when we look at that. We see that they missed something. Why? Because they slept. And you know, I don't believe that was the last time that happened. I think it's in the book of Luke. If you go to Luke chapter 22, Luke chapter 22 and verse 39, and he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, I'm in verse 39 and 40 now, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn with them from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So they probably missed the chance to see an angel appear from heaven and strengthen the Lord and answer His prayer. They missed out on an experience. And I just want to say, you know, there was a time in our nation and in our churches where people would do something, they would pray through, they would spend time in prayer, they would seek the Lord, and they would call on Him, and they wouldn't quit, they wouldn't give up. And I can tell you, I need this message as much as anybody here, but the simple fact is, a lot of times we pray, and we do our little prayers, and we've got our little time, but we don't get burdened the way we should. One thing you know about the Lord Jesus, He prayed until He was transfigured. He prayed until an angel appeared. Sometimes he spent all night in prayer. We look at all these things. Now, if he needs that, the sinless Son of God, who took upon himself human flesh, found in fashion as a man, yet without sin, he needed that. His human form needed help. And he got it by prayer. And so should we. Isn't it amazing that people that are great prayer warriors, that spend much time in prayer, that genuinely spend a lot of time, they don't just talk about the time they spend in prayer, they really spend time in prayer. You seem to find those people are the people that talk about the wonderful things that God is doing. Those are the people. I mean, there's been different accounts of different people throughout history that we would consider great saints that had knees so calloused that John Hyde, they called him Praying Hyde, and George Mueller and so many other people that we have there, and different people. They talk about people when they went to embalm them, they found like their knees were so callous they looked like camel's knees. It was said of David Brainerd when he would kneel in the snow to pray, that he'd pray so earnestly and sometimes be so agitated that the snow would melt around him. I don't know what kind of praying he was doing, but he was serious about it. Now, these are anecdotes and things that we hear about people. But you can't deny there have been great people that prayed fervently, both in the Scripture and both in history books. And they did great things for God, and they saw great things happen. But I would dare say that if we would just push ourselves a little harder, we might see more. If we might desire something a little more. A lot of times I like to talk about Zacchaeus. I like to talk about Zacchaeus. And I like Zacchaeus. I mean, Zacchaeus, He's a short little man, small of stature, couldn't see for the press, the president, not the news media, but although they try to hide as much as they can, but he couldn't see because of the number of people there. He just couldn't get around them. They're all too tall. He's small. But he wanted to see Jesus, so he ran ahead and he climbed up a sycamore tree. And of course, we always like to sing that to the little children, but he had a desire to see Jesus. Maybe if we had a greater desire to see Jesus, we'd see him clearer than we do now. Maybe if we chose prayer over sleep. I know there have been times in my life where I've had big decisions and things like that, and things and a long list of things to pray over. And I've had times where I would pray and read my Bible walking because I was getting so sleepy. Having to work hard and do things like that. And I look back at those times and I say, it was worth it. I began to see my faith grew. My dedication grew. When did we get to the point where we just didn't want to see? We didn't want to see more of Jesus. When did we get to that point? Why did we get to that point? We become slothful spiritually. You know, there is a time for all things. There is a time for sleep. But then there's a time when you shouldn't sleep. You know, you go through the book of Proverbs, you see what? All the talk about the sluggard and the slothful. Spending all their time in bed, sleeping. Not taking care of the business of providing for themselves. And they end up in poverty and everything like that. Well, I would dare say the devil would prefer us to sleep rather than pray. And any man common sense knows when there's much to be done, there's less time for sleeping and more time for working. You take the farmer and he's out there and he's working the field. He goes out, he cultivates. He goes out and he sprays and everything like that. He does what he's supposed to do. But then comes the harvest. I remember being in South Texas in the maize harvest. What we called maize, most people call Milo, or probably around here. But we always call it maize, but it's just Milo. They'd had the maize harvest, and then of course down where we were, cotton harvest and the rice harvest and all those things. So we had maize, cotton, and rice down there were the three major crops that we had. Some people had soybeans, stuff like that, planted and things like that. So we would go down there, and when they got started, you would see the combines and the trailers and the all of the different things, you would see them hitting the fields before daylight and being in the fields sometimes 10, 11 o'clock at night. Because when the time came to harvest, you had to harvest. Because it was ready, you had to get it while you can. If the weather turned, you could lose it. And so it was that time that they said, hey, you know, we've been working pretty well normal hours. You know, maybe sun up, sundown, or 6 to 6 or something like that. And been working out there and doing what we need to do and taking care of what we need to do. But now's the time for the harvest. Now's not the time to sleep. We've got to realize that there are times that we need to pray. And if we don't pray, we're going to miss important things. We cannot be slothful. If you go over to the book of Hebrews and he says this, let me see if I can find the passage I'm looking for here. Let's see, I'm trying to remember what he said. He said that, I think it's in chapter 12, but I may be wrong. Let's see if I can find the passage I'm looking for here. Maybe it's chapter 12, maybe it's not. But as a place where he said that he said that you be not slothful, but let me try to remember the actual passage he's talking about.
6:12.
Is it 6:12? Maybe that's what I'm looking. Maybe it's chapter 6. Let me look. Chapter 6. Yep. He said in chapter 6, let's go to verse 9. He says, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Don't be slothful. People that believe, pray. People that don't believe, don't pray. Something to think about. Just wanted to challenge you tonight about that. We definitely need prayer, don't we? Need praying people. We need praying Christians. If they're not going to come from this church, what church are they going to come from? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this. And Lord, what a wonderful thing it would have been to be able to see that entire thing unfold, where to be on the mount with the Savior and to be able to join hands with him and pray and to be able to see him transfigured and see Moses and Elijah and hear everything that they said, and yet because of the frailty of the flesh, it was missed. They didn't get to experience everything they should have experienced. Lord, we're like that sometimes. Maybe many times we pray and then we get tired and we quit. We run through the list and we don't really look to see and try to get a better glimpse of your glory. We don't really strive to be in your presence. Lord, help us to learn to avoid that, to see that there are times to pray, there's times not to sleep, but to pray. Lord, help us to know when those times are, and help us to be willing, to desire to see, to desire to know, to desire to experience a close walk with you in a relationship. Help us to that end, we pray. And Lord, we pray you bless each one. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I